Hello, and welcome to the Burnout Proof Your Biz podcast. On today's episode, I am talking to Shantae Gully. She is the owner over at Forever Taken Weddings and Events, which is a boutique event planning company that helps busy couples plan the wedding of their dreams so that they can be a guest at their wedding. Shantae is a huge believer in knowing why you are doing something, which means using your vision to both propel you forward and make even the smallest business decisions. In this episode, we're going to dive into letting go of expectations so you can stay true to yourself, how to find and be a good accountability partner, and get ranked on Google without blogging every day or even every week. Let's dive in. Today's episode is brought to you by the Empowered Boss Lab. The Empowered Boss Lab is a membership site dedicated to business owners just like you that are ready to organize their business and lead with less stress. And the doors are opening this week. That's right, this week, guys. If you want to be the first to hear about all of the upgrades that are coming to the Empowered Boss Lab and get exclusive early bird pricing, head on over to theempoweredbosslab.com to get your name on the waitlist today. Welcome to the Burnout Proof Your Biz podcast, where we explore how you can give yourself permission to run your business and live your dream life on your own terms. You started your business to have more freedom. Let's help you find it. I'm your host, Chelsea B. Foster. Let's dive into today's topic. All right, so I'm here with Shantae. Shantae, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
All right, so let's just go ahead and dive on in and you share a little bit about yourself and about your business.
Sure. So my company, Forever Taken Weddings and Events, started about 2.5 years ago. And before that, I was working at the Marriott Hotel doing events for over 10 years. And I just decided that I wanted a change of pace in my life. I wanted to have a better quality of life. And therefore, Forever Taken Weddings and Events was born. And something really fun about my company that a lot of people don't know is the name of it is actually my name and my husband's name. So my name is Shantae. And so for sure, a lot of my friends call me Tay and my husband's name is Ken. And together that's Taken. And so when we got married, when we said our vows, we both said, and now we're forever taken because marriage is forever. And so now I want to instill that same message with all my couples. And that's where the name Forever Taken Weddings and Events came from.
Oh, I know I've heard that story thousands of times, but I still just love to hear it. I don't know. It's so inspiring that you've taken something that is very personal and added it to your business. And so I think right off from the beginning, you're already telling clients and prospective brides and grooms that, hey, this business is personal and I do care about you and I care about your wedding because this is who I am and where I'm coming from.
Absolutely. And something that I actually always tell my clients is I care more about their marriage than their wedding day. And I know that sounds super crazy as a wedding planner, but I really do. Like, I really do think about, you know, after day one of marriage, and I really just want their wedding day to reflect that and to be forever.
Yeah. And I think that's a unique perspective that is needed more, especially in the wedding industry. And having come from the wedding industry, I know that there's this huge pressure on the wedding day, and I think it's so unique that you take that pressure away for your clients and help them really focus on the fact that your wedding is one day, but your marriage and what you're building here is for the rest of your life. So I think that's beautiful.
Thank you.
All right, so you talked a little bit about your journey and how you got here, but maybe talk a little bit about what the journey has been like since you started your own business.
Okay, so the journey in the beginning obviously was super exciting and, you know, starting your own company, working for yourself, being your own boss is amazing. And so I think in the beginning there was just a lot of unknowns, but so much excitement that I didn't really bother me. I really didn't know what I was getting myself into, to be completely honest, in the beginning. I didn't understand, like, just the journey that it would take to get to where I am now, but I'm so glad I went through that journey. And so going back in the beginning, It was just a lot of like, oh, so what is this other wedding planner charging? Oh, I'm going to charge that. Oh, so what's going on in the industry? Oh, well, let me just do that. You know, so I just kind of went along and kind of followed what everyone else was doing because it was working for them and I thought it would work for me. And quite honestly, I realized that it didn't work for me. And because I'm not that person and, you know, I realized that I'm different and that's totally okay. I'm my own self, my own being, and that people are going to appreciate and value like who I am. And so early on in my company, I would say I joined like the RTS group. So Rising Tide Society, Tuesdays Together group. And that's actually where I met my first business friends there. And they helped me out along the way. And one of my wedding planner friends, she actually encouraged me to look into this 6-month group coaching course. And that's what I took. That's actually where you and I met. So that's like obviously near and dear to my heart. And when I took that course, I would say the one thing that I left with was learning how to think like a boss. And I did not have that perspective earlier on. And so now everything that I do, you know, revolves around not just me or what I like, but really focusing on my company, on my brand, on my core values. So I really just learned what it really takes to have a sustainable company and also a company that truly reflects who I am and also just my brand overall. So I would definitely say that was a huge turning point in my company. And ever since that 6 months, I feel like my company has just completely turned itself around and I've created a brand that I 100% stand behind. And it has been such a journey, but one that I feel like, you know, we all go on at some point in our careers. And I'm just super excited that I was able to learn so much and just be where I am now. So definitely the journey was hard and long, but I know it's still going. But just from where I was when I first started to now, it's just, I feel like my company is completely different and in a great and positive way.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that all of us can relate to that story of being kind of all over the place in the beginning and copying what other people are doing because you think they have it figured out. It's working for them. So I can just do it for me too. Like that'll work. But like owning your own business and running your business is there's no formula for it. There's no right or wrong way. It's just, you have to figure out what works for you. And I love that you recognized early on that what other people were doing wasn't working. How did you recognize that it wasn't working? What were some of the like things that stood out to you?
So one of the things that stood out to me, like I just realized that I was, like I was saying, doing everything that I saw other people doing to be successful. And I was getting really tired. I was just like putting all of my effort in. I realized that everything that I was putting out, it wasn't quality. You know, it was just putting out content because I need to post 5 times a week because that's what everyone says about Instagram. You know, it's like Putting out blog posts once a week because you need to get your SEO up. And that's because that's what everyone's going to look at your Google review or whatever. So it's just like, there's so many things that were going through my mind and I was just really wanting to like pump out information and get things going. And for me, the biggest thing that like really made me realize that was just me, honestly, just getting tired and realizing like, you know what, there has to be something more. Like I took on this journey to be an entrepreneur because for me, my why is to spend more time with my loved ones. And so I realized that I wasn't doing that and I wanted to change that. And so for me, that was the huge turning point, was realizing that I was just getting tired of it all and I didn't see a return on what I was putting in.
Yes. And I think paying really close attention to your energy levels is a great indicator of when something's working and when something's not working for you personally. And right. I love that you talked about the idea that we have to post every single day on Instagram and produce a new blog post every single week. I know for a fact for you, you don't do that. You don't do either of those things. And you still rank very high on Google. And I think you've attacked this whole, the problem of getting on the first page of Google in a unique way. So I would love it if you would just kind of share a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I went to this conference. I know, well, you and I went to it together. I think it was like the Wedding Wire conference.
Yeah, it was Wedding Wire World.
Yeah, there you go. And there was one like workshop about building your SEO and on Google listings and just on Google in itself. And some of the things I learned from that was it really depends on like what your goal is as far as like your strategy. And so for me, it wasn't really like to get like gain a lot, like a ton of like followers and readers. Like I knew people would look at it when, you know, when the time came or when they needed to. And so I just changed my perspective as of like getting information out when I can, but every information or every blog post that I do, taking the necessary steps for Google to recognize that and to promote it. And so I really took a dive into like SEO to learn as much as I could about it. Although I'm not an SEO expert in any way. I just really learned what the little things that I needed to learn in order to make it to number one on Google for certain keywords. And keywords are huge, and that's what I learned as well. So adding those keywords in my, you know, like the title and the blog post and all of those things, and learning about the Google Analytics and getting Google. I think one of the things for me that I learned was just getting Google to recognize every time you produce new content, and they do actually recognize it. It just takes them a long time to recognize it. And so I just kind of speed up the process by telling them through their system, like, hey, I have a new blog post, so can you guys post it or whatever, or like, you know, rank it up there. And so just learning these little tips along the way for me has been really helpful. And so it's not necessarily about the amount of blog posts that I produce, but it's about the quality and the information and what is in there that's needed for Google to pick it up and to recognize that it is quality information, and it's something that they want their readers to know as well. And so I really just understood that, and thankfully, you know, I've been able to see my blog posts on Google, which has been amazing. And even in my area, in my city, depending on like the two different keywords that you use, either like wedding planner or wedding coordinator, I do come up as number one or number two, which has been a great experience, a learning experience for me.
Yes. And I think you really hit on the key point here. It's that you're spending time building out quality content and making sure that you're using those keywords that are going to help you rank better. And then also when people find you, the things that they're finding are actually things they want to read about.
Exactly.
And I think that's something that we forget, especially when we get in the hustle and we're just focused on, we need to produce content. We need to have all these blog posts and a ton of content on our website to rank. And I think that quality is so much more important than just busting out a ton of blog posts.
Exactly. And Google recognizes that too. Like they know, you know, like if it's something that has been produced before, they're going to rank it after page three, and no one reads after page three on Google listings anyways. And so you really do have to sit down and think about exactly what you're writing and what you want your audience to hear or to read.
Exactly. I totally agree with that. Okay. So let's shift gears just a little bit and talk about your week. How do you prepare for your week, and what's your schedule look like?
Okay, so I prepare on Sundays for my week. And with that, I just look at, depending on my wedding planner, so I look at the week as far as like weddings go. And if I do have a wedding coming up, like within the next week or two, my load is a lot lighter, because I found that if I try to pack in too many things during a wedding week, like it doesn't get done and it's super overwhelming. And then I'm not giving, you know, my all to my client for that weekend. And so for instance, this week, I do have a wedding coming up, and so my load is a lot lighter. And so I will just put certain small things that I know I can get done per day, on there. And so usually what I do is I'll make a list of all of the things that I need to get done in a week or this week. Let's just use this week as an example. And then I will add them to my calendar for the week. And then I will go in for each week or each day of that week and rank them as far as what is a priority for that day. What are the top three things that I need to get done? And then I'll rank them in the order accordingly. And then I'll get them done that way. And I find that if I at least get the top three things that are a priority for me, my company, then I succeeded for the day, and anything else is icing on the cake.
Yes. And I think that you are so good at giving yourself grace that when you don't get everything finished, at least you got those top three. And that feels like a win.
Yes.
And you're just really good at that. And I love that.
Thank you. And also grace is one of my core values. So it's something I definitely extend to myself and to others quite often.
Yes, you definitely do. Okay, so I want to talk about the tools that you use to help you plan out your week. So where are you writing down all of these goals and figuring out what the week is going to look like?
Okay, so number one, I'm a paper girl. Like I just can't. I have to have a paper planner. But I know and I recognize the importance of having things online and on a Google Calendar as well. So let's see. The first tool that I use is Asana. And that actually goes back to my yearly goals, which I break them down into my quarterly goals. And then I break those down into my monthly goals. And then I break them down into like my weekly goals and then therefore my daily goals. So earlier on, you know, I've already had this plan as far as like what I need to do. Just as far as like content and all of that stuff, not really like client work. But that's like the one system that I use Asana for. And what I really love about that program is I can assign all of those tasks to myself, and I can also give myself due dates as well. So every Sunday I have like, you know, check acuity, make sure that my calendar is up to date because I have clients making appointments. It's saying plan out the week. So every week, you know, I get a notification, hey, you need to plan out your week, you know? So that's like something that really helps me just to like wrap my mind around the weekend getting started. So Asana definitely helps out there. And then I put all of my appointments in my Google Calendar, which is really nice. And from there, my Google Calendar communicates with Acuity. So when a client will schedule a call with me, it goes directly into my Google Calendar and also my Acuity as well. So during the week, like on a Sunday, like I was saying, what I do is I look at my Asana, see what events are coming up, and then I'll plan accordingly. And then I also look at my Google Calendar to see what appointments I have coming up, and then I'll plan those in my daily paper calendar as well that I have. And so then I use my paper planner like daily, like weekly. But for all my appointments and things like that, I do need to make sure that I'm a little bit more organized than just having it on paper. And so I have those in my Google Calendar. I hope that wasn't too like,
no, it was not confusing at all.
Okay.
And I love the way that you recognize that you're a paper person, but to help automate some of the things within your business, like scheduling client calls, you need to have it electronic too. And you take the, 5 minutes, 10 minutes to input information into your Google Calendar.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't take that long. So if you are a strictly paper person out there and you're listening, know that it doesn't take up that much time to go ahead and add those appointments into your Google Calendar once a week or once a month. That way you could start to use some automations and
yes, it's great. And also, you can set reminders for yourself as well. So I'll get reminders on my phone, like, oh, you have a call coming up in 20 minutes. And then I think I have another one for 10 minutes. And so yeah, it's just super helpful as well. Instead of going back to your paper calendar and be like, oh, when's my next appointment? You know, like just, it's already there on your phone. So it's really nice to have that.
Yes. I love that you've done a really good job of blending the paper and very tactile type scheduler and the electronic. I think it's great the way that you're using it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So talk to us about like what your days look like, specifically when you take days off. Cause I know as planners, that is always a huge struggle, is to figure out, well, everyone else works Monday through Friday, but I have weddings on Saturdays and Sundays. Like, when do I take time off?
Yes. Okay. So my schedule, it's pretty straightforward. It's very obvious. So one thing, just even before I share like my schedule, I definitely communicate this to my clients as well. From the beginning, I have my office hours on my email, and then also from the onboarding, once they are my clients, they get an onboarding email series, and it has my office hours on there too. And so I have office hours for clients Monday through Thursday from 10 to 4:30, and then Saturday it's by appointment only, just because usually I have events. And then Sunday the office is closed. And so going back to Monday through Thursday, when usually that's like open for appointments. I do have just like a general like personal like block schedule that I use, and I find it to be very helpful, and it just helps me get a lot of work done. And then I also don't stress about the week as well. And so,
do you want to share what those blocks look like?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So obviously I'm a wedding planner. So Saturday and Sunday, like Saturday I usually work the weddings, and Sunday I'm usually on the couch watching the Hallmark Channel. And then
Hallmark movies all day. Yes. Oh,
okay. I could talk about that forever, but that's not the topic. So let's go to Monday. So Monday, it's like an office day. So I usually are like behind the scenes. I usually catch up on just looking at my emails, seeing what's going to coming in from the weekend. And then I just kind of prepare myself. I prepare on Sunday usually, but Monday I just really take another deep dive at what my week is going to look like. I'm getting things done, doing things kind of more like behind the scenes, getting ready for the week. I have on Tuesday, it's a client day. So I do any client work on Tuesdays. And I really dedicate that time to my clients. And then if I also have any like client meetings or walkthroughs, I usually schedule them on Tuesday or Thursday, which I'll talk about next. Wednesday, it's content day, which is super important because it has changed my life completely to have one day dedicated to just the content for my company. And with that, what I mean by content is blog posts. It could be, creating like social media posts, anything that has to do with my company behind the scenes. I also have accountability with you, Chelsea, on Wednesdays, which is amazing. And we're going to talk about that more. And so Wednesdays are really for my company and getting just all of the content. And that has just been life changing. And Thursdays, like I said, it's the same as Tuesday, so it's another client day. So any client work and then also any client meetings, I try to do them all on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I've had pretty good luck with those for the most part. And then Friday, I don't necessarily have that day as an office day like for client work. It's usually like a catch-up day, which I really love because if there's something that like I didn't get done, then I always know, okay, I have Friday to get it done and or usually it's like something really small that I'll do, but I usually spend Fridays with family. We usually go hiking on Fridays or the movies or just hanging out with family. So that is what my week looks like, generally speaking, in a nutshell.
Oh, I love that. And I think it's really important for all the other wedding planners out there to hear that you intentionally close your office on Sundays unless you have a wedding. And I know you personally, because I know your business really well, because we are accountability partners. I know that you don't do full planning weddings on Sundays. They're just coordination where you just have to show up and kind of tell people where to go and make sure they stay on schedule.
Right.
So I think that it's amazing that you have built that into your schedule and that you're strict about it. And that you've set that boundary for yourself. So you are able to recover after a long day of dealing with wedding craziness.
Absolutely. And then just really quickly, something else that is key to making this all work is only responding to clients during my office hours. You know, so if I get an email at 9 p.m., I'm not up on my phone responding to a client at 9 p.m. because then they're going to expect you to respond to them always and every time they send you an email. And so what I do is even if I, for instance, if it was something that like needed to get sent out, but I know I'm not going to send it out, I can write it and have it ready to go. And then I will just schedule it to be sent out at 10 a.m. in the morning. And I do that, I mean, I have all the time. So usually I'm not working past my, obviously the office hours. But if there's something where I know that it needs to be out in the morning at 10 a.m., like no matter what, then I'll type it up really fast and just schedule it for that next day if it's like that important. If not, then I can just wait, you know, until the next day. But I definitely will not send out an email after office hours.
I love that so much. So much. And I think that's one really important boundary, and it helps set the tone for the whole entire relationship with the client. And I know I talked more about this specifically in the expectations and boundaries episode. So if you haven't listened to that episode, I definitely encourage you to click back at the end of this one and listen to that, because I do dive into setting those expectations and sticking to them and how you can make sure that you stick to them. So, because I know people are going to want to know, what app are you using to help you schedule those meetings or those emails to go out in the future?
Oh, yeah. So I actually use two. One is Boomerang and the other is Streak. And they're both just on Google, or you can download them. And it's really nice. And I think it's the Streak one where you can like track your emails, so you can see like when, you know, the couple read them, like what time. And it's just really helpful. And obviously I never say, hey, I'm like making sure you're reading my email and I see that you've read it at this time. It's honestly just a personal thing for me to know, like, okay, at least I know they received it. Cause I feel like sometimes I send out an email and I have no idea where it went, but at least I know that they've seen it, and it's just helpful for me. But yes, the two is just Boomerang, or the two are Boomerang and Streak.
Yes. Oh, and I love Streak so much. It's actually a CRM that lives inside your inbox. So it does have full CRM capabilities. You do not have to use all of it, though. I am like Shantae, and I use it really for the tracking to make sure that people see the emails, and then also for scheduling those emails to go later. And I think with the new Gmail update, I can't remember because I haven't switched over to the new format because it's just too bright. It's all white everywhere. Anyway. I think with the new Gmail update, they have built in the ability to schedule a meeting or schedule emails to go out later. Don't quote me on that, but if you're using the new system, check it out.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Okay. So since we are talking about productivity tools, what is the one productivity tool that you cannot live without?
It's kind of a hard question. I have a couple, but the one productivity tool I cannot live without will definitely be Asana.
Yeah.
Yes. I use that program for so many different things, so many different projects, so many different groups of people that I'm working with. And also for my company, I use it as like a checks and balances for me as a wedding planner, just to make sure that I stay afloat, just with all of the weddings and all of the different things that come up. It's just been life-changing, and I love that it sends you reminders and it tells you what's coming up next, and you can, you know, add people to it. And it's just been very helpful in my company. And like I said, I use it in various different ways, but it's been a program that I value so much in my company. I feel like has just, I've been able to stay a lot more organized that way as well.
Yes. As a fellow Asana user, I do love the flexibility that you can use it so many different ways for so many different things, for client work, for personal stuff, for all of your content things. I know I have a lot of our personal things in there, and like I'll schedule when like the floor needs to be vacuumed, and right. I'm my husband and that is going to do it, but it's a work in progress, but I agree with you. Asana is high up there on my list.
Absolutely.
Since you are a wedding planner, and I know you use other tools besides Asana, what are those other tools that you use online to help you run your wedding business?
So right now, most of my clients are event management clients. And what I mean by event management is I don't do day of and I don't do month of, because I start at least 6 weeks out. So to me, those names don't exist. And so most of my clientele right now is just event management. And so what I use for those clients are just Google Docs. So I have Google folders for all of my clients, and I have a certain section for myself, and then a specific folder for my clients and for all the information. And that way we just share documents and information and images and anything updated about their wedding. It all lives in Google Docs for right now. I will be transitioning soon to take on more full-time or full planning weddings. And so with that, I will definitely use IO Planner, which I know a lot of planners use IO Planner to help with the organization of each client as well. And they actually, you know, now you can do like contracts on there too. So it might be something in the future that I might look into. But just for my event management clients, I found that it's just a lot simpler, easier, and it's free. As I, you know, just have been starting out a couple of years ago. And so I was just trying to find something that worked that didn't take up too much just financially in the beginning. And so that's what I use that has been really helpful. But in the future, I most likely will look into like Aisle Planner or something like that.
Yeah, I love that you are taking it slow with adding on paid apps and really using all of the free resources that are available to you. And I think that's something that we forget and we get lost in, especially in the beginning when we're like, everyone is telling us we need to be using these products to do this and they cost so much money, but right. You don't have to. Like, it's okay if you want to use the free things. It's totally fine.
Absolutely. And honestly, in all honesty, because honesty is actually one of my core values as well, I did have Aisle Planner in the beginning because, like you said, I thought I needed it. And I realized that in the beginning, I didn't need it. I couldn't justify the cost per month versus my full service clientele that I had at that point. And so I had it for a while and I used it and it was great, but I just, it just didn't work for me during that time in my company. So I definitely will take another look at it sometime in the future to see if it's worth it now.
Yes, absolutely. And I love that you're very analytical about your business and you think about it very strategically. So if you want to use a certain product, you're actually going to analyze, well, like, does the cost actually give me a benefit? Or am I just going to be throwing money away? And I think that's important to remember and something that we forget to do when we just get caught up in, I need to spend money to do this, but not necessarily.
Exactly. Yeah. There's always a way. I've learned that there's always a way to get it, to make it work. So.
Exactly. Exactly. So I know you use Asana. That's free. You're using Google Docs. That's free. What other tools are you using?
Oh, I use HoneyBook as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you use HoneyBook for?
So I mainly use HoneyBook for contracts, for payments, and for workflows. That has been really, really helpful for my company. And then those are the top three that I use it for.
Gotcha. So if you've never heard of HoneyBook, it is a great place to help you organize your contracts and payments. And it looks beautiful as well. You're able to send out proposals. And I will have a link for you guys in the show notes so you can check it out if you are interested. Okay, so you talked a little bit earlier about accountability time. And I wanted to make sure that we talked about this on this call because I know for both of us, accountability time has been a huge game changer for us.
Yes.
And so just share some thoughts.
Sure. So just in the beginning, even before, when I first started my company, I've had accountability groups before, just in like personal, like just in life. And so I knew the importance of them. However, I never really applied it to business, like having a business accountability partner. It never occurred to me. But when I heard about it, it totally made sense. I was like, well, why haven't I had one? You know, and I need one, I need one. And so once I realized like the importance of having one in business, and once I found Chelsea, I knew she was perfect for me. We were perfect for each other. We're both just super like task oriented and in that way, type A as well.
Yes.
So very type A. Yes. And so I really just love the concepts, and I loved how we were both able to take on this journey together, especially as we were both, I feel like, in the same boat in the beginning as being new and just learning together through the 6-month like group coaching course. Mm-hmm. But accountability has changed my company from head to toe, honestly. And what I love about it the most is I love that Chelsea and I are very much intentional about it. And I think there are a lot of like people understand the value of accountability groups, but they don't put in the time for it. And then therefore it like falls apart and, or they're not partnered with the right person for them. And so you really have to make sure that it's someone that, you know, you can count on, someone that is responsible and someone that just you work really well together with and not just like chit-chatty all the time, but you guys actually get work done. And so I know Chelsea and I definitely, we are chit-chatty, but we have that, we have a time for that and then also a time for work, and we know the difference, and we can get, we can actually get a lot of work done together. And so I think overall, like, it has been like life-changing.
I completely agree with everything you just said, like all of it. I did want to talk for just a couple minutes about what makes a partner a good accountability partner. Because I know, and you touched on this, that there are a lot of accountability groups out there and a lot of groups that will pair you with accountability buddies. And I feel like a lot of people think that they're a mythical thing, that having a really good accountability partner doesn't actually exist. It's one of those tools that people just talk about and they think is a good idea, but isn't really good. But you and I both, and I'm going to speak for you for a second. Okay. I feel like we both really, really depend on this accountability time and mm-hmm. the ability for us to bounce ideas off of each other and call each other out whenever we're doing silly things. Like earlier I told you guys that Shantae is really great at the money thing, and she calls me out whenever I spend money on stupid things. And it's amazing. Like, I need that person in my life to do that. And I think you also touched on this earlier. One of the most important things is that you're paired with the right person that has a similar personality, and that you guys aren't afraid to actually like talk about the real stuff. Like, right. We cry on our calls. We text each other in tears, and we laugh a lot, a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Silly. And we talk about the things that are hard in our businesses and brainstorm ideas to help each other get over that. And yeah, do you have other thoughts?
Yeah, I would definitely say when, even just before like looking for an accountability partner, like you have to be in the right mindset of why you want to have an accountability partner. I think there needs to be some sort of like goals, you know, in the beginning, because if not, it's just another thing that other people are telling you that you need to have. And so,
yeah. Well, and it ends up being a meeting,
right,
instead of a productive part of your week and something that's going to add to your business.
Exactly. And also, like I was saying about personalities, like, I know that if I tell someone I'm going to have this done by this day, I know I have to get it done. Like, there's no way. Like, yes. That's just like who I am. Like, I have to. And so for me to, like, for instance, Chelsea and I will text our goals daily. And if, you know, like, if it's like something where the top three things that I know I really need to get that done, and I know Chelsea know, like, someone else knows that I have to get that done, I think for it just adds like a little bit of like good pressure on me to like, no, I have to get this done today because I told her I was going to get this done today. And yeah. Like, sometimes like that's what I need in order to get like certain things done.
Exactly.
And so it just, for me, like, I know I need that. Like, I need that accountability. Like, and then we'll check in afterwards or at the end of the day, like, hey, like, how did your goals go? Or how did you get through those things? Or, you know, what happened or what didn't happen? But for me, like, I need that, and it has been really helpful, but I know that I need that. You know, it's something that, like you were saying, that I rely on. Like, I rely on Chelsea a lot and vice versa.
Yeah. But it's definitely more, vice versa.
Well, it's more of just, we both understand each other. We respect each other, and having that rapport built and having it being built continuously has definitely helped us grow closer over the year or years, I would say now. It's just been really helpful. So I would definitely say, especially with the mindset, like, you have to really know and understand like what you want, like what you want to get out of this. And then how can your accountability partner help you achieve or attain that goal?
Exactly. I 100% agree with that. And for us personally, we've changed what the goal of this is over time.
Yeah.
And we continually check in with each other. And if one of us is having a bad week or a really stressful week and we're like, I can't make it this time, we still will like talk over text.
Right.
So we don't even go a whole day. It's been a long time since we didn't text each other on a day.
Yeah.
Like, really long time. And we don't live in the same city, guys.
Right.
So, just so you know, we do live in the same time zone, though, which I
think. That's nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we're not in the same city. So, okay. Since we're talking about overwhelm and accountability partners, What are some of your favorite ways to relieve stress and overwhelm?
So I talk a lot about mindfulness just in my company overall, and that simply means just being focused, staying focused in the present and appreciating what's around you, and ultimately just having gratitude for where you are in life. And so I really try to implement that into my life, and that, you know, can look in various different ways. But one of the things that I do when I feel overwhelmed is I like to go out and go on a walk or go hiking. I think hiking for me has just been like a saving grace, because it's just a place where, you know, you go hiking and I'm just out in nature and my mind is free and clear to think. And I feel like that's where like all of my like fun, crazy ideas like develop, is just when I'm out in nature. But definitely I would say just walking, hiking. I do like to do yoga, not as much as I probably should, but yoga has been really helpful, like just exercising. But I would say like I really like to try to do things like with my husband. So he doesn't necessarily like to do yoga, so we don't do that together, but we definitely love to go just on like small little like road trips and go to like different like fun places to go hiking and things like that. And then he also likes to do like random photo shoots, because he's a photographer, and so he's like, let's go here and you can be my model. I'm like, oh, okay, fine. So just doing little things like that and just getting out, and I think also just being connected with my husband has definitely been helpful as far as like staying afloat. And I would say like I try to be proactive as far as like I don't want to get to that place where, obviously, like sometimes I do, but I don't want to just get to a place where I feel like, okay, now I'm overwhelmed. Okay, now I need to go do this. You know, I want to be more proactive in that and implement this whole mindset or idea of mindfulness daily, so that I don't get to that place of overwhelm. And so there's certain things that I try to do every day to make sure that I'm taking care of myself first, and then like family, and then my company.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things you do really well to help you with that is making sure your to-do list is small. I know whenever you text me your goals, there's usually only like 5 or 6 things total, and that's business and personal things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important to remember. And something that you have personally been helping me work on is keeping the to-do list and those expectations for yourself lower, so that you don't have the stress. Because at the end of the day, all that comes from you, and it doesn't hurt anyone except you.
Great.
And you've also built your schedule to help you be able to go on hikes. You guys go at least once a week. You go walk out together, and I just think that's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to switch gears just a little bit and go back to the beginning and talk about a time when you have been told that you had to do something a certain way in your business to be successful. And I want to know how it went, how you felt, and kind of what you did with that.
Yeah, I talked about this a little bit, but I can go into more detail. I would definitely say it has to be Instagram, because in the beginning I was told that I needed to post every single day, and, you know, at certain times, and analytics, and yeah, that's important, and it is important to look at your analytics and know when your clients or your audience is like online, things like that. But for me, like I was saying, it's too overwhelming. Like I got really stressed out, and I started to post, and there was no rhyme or reason or color scheme or anything to my Instagram. I mean, it was just things that I put out because I needed content to put out and pictures, you know, just get things out. And I heard that message from multiple people, and different strategies and techniques, and here's what you can do. And I tried them all, you guys, and for me, it didn't work. And I think it really goes back to my company and my values. And one of them, I mentioned 2 so far. So another one is mindfulness. And with that, it just means like being more focused and being more intentional with everything that I do. And actually, Chelsea, I feel like, because you and I shared a room when we were at the conference, and I remember having this like epiphany, it's so funny, with you.
Yes.
And I was like, Chelsea, I don't need to post every single day. I'm just going to post 3 times a week, and that's it.
Yep.
And I remember when I told like one of the leaders that like I was meeting with, or one of the, I don't know, I think she was a brand strategist, and She's like, well, that's crazy. I'm like, what are you going to do? Like, you need to do this. And I said, well, this is just who I am. And I honestly think this is going to work for my company. And as soon as I did that, as soon as I only posted like 3 times a week, I was able to be more intentional. I was able to connect more with my audience. And I was also able to have some sort of style or like, you know, like pretty images or something like a cohesive, or what's the word they use, like curated brand on yeah. social media. And without even really thinking about it too much, it just kind of came together in that way. And people started noticing it, and people really started to understand what Forever Taken was all about. And yeah. That was a huge difference for me.
Oh my gosh. I do remember that conversation. And I remember being like I was a little scared for you, because I also was hearing the same thing that you had to post 5 times a week, and at least 5 times a week, like once a day was the minimum.
Right.
And this was just revolutionary. And I saw you take it and run with it, and your personal stress level around social media dropped significantly. You went from being like, I don't know, like stress level of like maybe 90% down to like stress level of like 10%. Mm-hmm. Like it was no longer a concern for you.
Exactly.
And yeah. And you also, on top of only posting 3 days a week, you had a plan for what those things were going to be.
Exactly. And also with that plan, I can now say that I could get 1 month of planned scheduled content done in 1 hour and 30 minutes.
Yes.
So each month I only spend about 1 hour and 30 minutes on social media or Instagram, which is amazing.
Yeah. It's something that I strive towards.
You can do it. I believe yeah. in you.
No, I love that. And especially when we were both starting our businesses, that was like a huge issue for everyone. Everyone was telling you need to be posting on Instagram 3 times a day. You need to be posting on Facebook 5 times a day, and you need to be posting on Twitter, and they all need to be different things. And I love that you recognize that it's not working for you. And all it was doing was adding stress and chaos. Your clients weren't able to see who you really were because you were posting just because someone told you had to post. And you took that step back and focused again more on quality content than quantity of content.
Exactly.
And I think for your business in particular, it has just been amazing. And I think you're right. Your clients are seeing that. They're able to connect with you. And I think that you're connecting with the right kind of clients too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this may or may not be the same answer, but what was the best thing you ever, or best business decision you ever made?
The best business decision that I've ever made was to take the leap in the beginning. And I know that sounds maybe like not a good answer, but for me, it was really hard because I was nervous about, you know, everything like finances and how many clients and who's going to pay me and all of these different doubts and questions that came up. But I believed in myself. I believed that I could make something and do something and make it more beautiful and make it more meaningful. And taking that first leap of faith has been life changing for me. Definitely has just given me a lot of more confidence in myself and has helped me really hone into like who I am, like as a business owner. And I've just seen so much of myself develop more. And as much as, you know, it's a journey, there's good, there's bad, there's ups and downs. Like, I've learned so much from all of it, and I wouldn't be like who I am if I didn't like take that first step. So I would definitely say just taking the first step is hard. And so doing that, I would say, is the best decision I've ever made, just especially with the quality of life that I'm able to have now. I wouldn't change anything for the world.
Oh, I love that. And especially for those fellow type A people out there, that first step is really hard, especially when we don't have all the answers and we don't have that plan figured out.
Exactly.
And we don't know if it's going to be perfect. That, like, we don't know. All those unknowns for type A's are like super, super scary. And so whether it is going out and starting your business, or if it's little things like whatever you're struggling with right now that you're still sitting on the fence, like, should I or shouldn't I, take the leap, go try it and see. Like, the worst thing that's going to happen is that it doesn't work and then you have to backpedal a little bit, but you still learn something even in that.
Exactly.
Oh, I love that. I'm so glad that you started your business.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad I started it too.
Yeah. Okay. Last question. Well, almost last question.
Okay.
What's one piece of advice that you would give someone who is on the edge of burnout?
Okay. I would tell someone to take a look at their company and themselves, and I would go back to their why. Like, I would have them sit down and really think about why they started this company or why did they start this venture. And for the most part, I feel like it's not all the same, but a lot of times is because we want to have a different quality of life, because we want to spend more time at home, mm-hmm. and, you know, to change that with our own company. But, you know, there's obviously things that happen and so forth. And so I would just take a look back at your why. And if you maybe never even heard of a why, is why did you start your company? What makes you excited to get up in the morning? Like, why are you doing this? Like, what is keeping you going? Like, what's giving you that, like, anxious or excited feeling, like, waking up in the morning? And reevaluate that and think about what that looks like for you, and take that and transform your company with it. Use that in every decision that you make. Like, is this really going to support my why?
Oh, I love that so much. And I think it's so important to remember to come back to it. And if you haven't written your why statement, it's just the purpose. So why are you doing this business? Why did you start it? And it's more personal. So for you personally, not necessarily like what's your business going to do, but why are you doing this? And why is this the right business for you? And I think that that is so important to go back and read that. And I know you actually look at your why a lot, especially when you're evaluating mm-hmm. the next direction and figuring out, is this the right way to go or not?
Exactly.
So, oh, I love that. And I feel like if you are on the edge of burnout and you go look at your why, you're going to be reminded, this is why I started this. Like, and you'll be able to clearly see what things you should let go of and just not do those anymore. Yeah. All right. So my next little segment is just to help get us to know you a little bit more. That was super awkward. anyway, so it's a little bit of this or that. And I just ask you questions. You tell me your answer and then feel free to share a story along with it if any of them pop into your mind.
Okay.
All right. So early bird or night owl?
Daytime person for sure. I do not like waking up early, and I definitely am a grandma and I have to go to bed by like 10 p.m.
Yes, that is true. If I text you after 10, like,
forget it.
Either don't respond or you're like, Chelsea, just go to bed. All right. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Do you have a favorite?
I don't discriminate. No, I love all tea. I love so many. Like, there's green tea. I love oolong tea. I mean, I could just go on. I love the tea that they serve when I go to a Chinese restaurant. Like, I just love all tea. So, yes,
well, and
boba. With boba is the best.
Oh, yeah. I actually have never really gotten into boba.
Okay, that needs to change.
I know. They're so popular here. Like, literally, you throw a stone and you're going to see a boba tea place.
I love that.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, except that I don't drink it. Maybe I just need to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, so I was going to ask you, do you use tea bags or the loose leaf?
I have both. But I like that when I use a loose leaf tea, I can just continue to reuse it about maybe 3 or 4 times after the first like brew. So that's been really nice.
Yeah, I definitely think that loose leaf is a little stronger, mm-hmm. Probably because the leaves are bigger.
Yes.
You're not like pulling all the nutrients out of it mm-hmm. in one time. I love that. I love tea so much. I'm drinking tea right now.
That's awesome.
All right, Gilmore Girls or Friends?
Okay, this is actually really funny. So I didn't watch any of those shows like growing up. But I just recently started to get into Gilmore Girls. And it's so funny that my husband likes it too, which don't tell him that, because he'll probably think that's kind of embarrassing. But yeah, we like laugh at the same things together.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
It's really funny.
I love Gilmore Girls. Okay, so what season are you in?
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm in like, I'm starting from the way beginning. So I'm probably in like season two right now. Like, I just.
Is Rory still in high school?
She's like applying. Yeah, she's applying to colleges.
I'm like, tell me what's going on in the episode. I will tell you what the episode name is.
Definitely tell your Gilmore Girls.
Yes, totally. So I watched both of them when they were on air originally.
Mm-hmm.
And I may or may not have the whole entire series of Gilmore Girls on DVD.
Wow, okay.
But my sister has, I'm pretty sure she has the Friends box set. Too. That was one of her favorite shows. So I know them both, love them both, but Gilmore Girls. I'm a Rory. I want to be a Lorelai.
Yeah.
Definitely a Rory.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. It's a little creepy, but also awesome. Okay. City, beach, or mountains?
Mountains, obviously. Okay. I would say like, because there's, you didn't say desert, so I would say desert and mountains.
Yeah,
be like together for me. We're really close, and what I mean by really close is like 2 hours away from Joshua Tree, which is one of my favorite places to go. So
I want to go there so bad.
Yeah, and yeah, that needs to change too. So yeah, yeah, definitely mountains in the desert for sure.
Yeah, I love that. Well, because I follow you and your husband. You have so, well, Ken has so many photos of the desert and the beaches there, or the sand dunes, I guess, are just, it's not a beach, it's just sand, no water. The sand dunes are beautiful and just, so pretty.
Yeah, so speaking of that, yeah, we actually, my husband created like a hiking Instagram, so all of our hiking adventures are on there.
I will actually link that in the show notes as well, because that account is super fun to follow.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, it's really fun. Okay, I already know the answer to this one, but dogs or cats?
Dogs. We have a dog. Her name is Enola, and she is a half German Shepherd and half Australian Shepherd. I would definitely say I'm more of a dog person than a cat person.
Yeah, Enola is so cute, too. So cute. She makes appearances on Shantae's Insta stories, so...
Yes.
I want to see her.
Occasionally.
Yes. See her hop around in the bushes.
Oh, yeah. She loves that.
Yeah. She looks like a little rabbit. Okay. Yoga pants or dress pants?
Yoga pants all day. Like, that's not even a question. Sorry. I think I'm wearing yoga pants right now. Yeah. So, yeah.
I definitely am.
It's the best. It's the best thing. And also, even if I'm on a call, like, I have on a nice top, but... no one sees my bottom, so it's like, dude, I'm still in yoga pants. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Unless I have to leave the house, but other than that, yoga pants all day.
I still like to wear yoga pants outside the house. I know it's not classy, but, you know, I live in Silicon Valley. We do whatever we want.
That's awesome.
So, books or the TV/movie?
I feel like I should say books.
But,
I have to say... like TV. Well, okay, I don't watch too much TV. And actually, we don't even have live TV. But we have like Apple TV. And so I would just say that's just everything that I need is on there. So, I mean, every holiday, you know, like everything. So yeah, definitely the Hallmark Channel. I wouldn't say TV because I don't like watch TV. I just watch the Hallmark Channel and the movies. And
oh my gosh, the Hallmark Channel is amazing.
Yes, it's kind of an obsession.
Oh. Especially around Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Like, seriously. It's bad. I always add it to Amazon Prime at Christmas.
It's even bad when your husband, like, knows the outcome of all the movies that you're watching.
Yes. This is why mine doesn't watch them with me. Because he knows I'm going to start crying, like, probably halfway through and then cry for the whole rest of it. And then... it's always a happy ending.
Exactly. That's what I love.
That's the point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm going to watch some entertainment, like I want to come away smiling and probably happy crying.
Positive, like good feelings, you know, like none of that extra stuff. So it's just exactly what I need and the amount that I need it in.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, I love that so much. All right, last two questions. What is coming up for you in the next 6 months?
Let's see, the next 6 months, I am planning on launching and like really that's not yet public, but stay tuned for more details. Although I know that's like not as very vague, but there are a couple of things that I'm working on in my company, and I will say that it's just to make my company more intentional, more meaningful, and a better way to connect with my clients.
Absolutely. And if those things have come out before this episode airs, I will have those links for you in the show notes so you can check them out.
Yay.
All right. So last question, where can we connect with you if we want to get in touch?
I would say email you would probably be the best. Social media is great too. I would love to, like, I'm more of just like a let's meet up for tea type of person, or have a video chat or something. But I would definitely say email is the best. So that's hello@forevertaken.com. And then social media, if you want to see like my work or see what I'm doing or look at my stories about like weddings or anything that's going on fun in my life, I would definitely say Instagram. So my Instagram handle is just takenweddings. Those are the two, I would say, like the best places. But if you really just want to like chat and like hang out, like I would love that too. So definitely send me an email.
Perfect. And I will link both of those for you guys in the show notes so you can just click on them and then head on over to start connecting with Shantae. So thank you so much for being here. This was so much fun. You had amazing advice and great experiences that you shared. And I think that it was just wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited and feel so honored to be a part of this amazing podcast.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Before we leave, I do want to give you your permission slip. And Shantae talked a lot about her expectations and her ability to kind of let go of all of that. So your permission slip today is to let yourself let go of those expectations of others so that you can find your own truth and use it to run your business authentically. All right, you can head on over to the show notes to download that and save it onto your mobile device or even share it on social media if you would like. And if you love today's episode, I would absolutely love it if you would head on over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. These reviews help others find us and be able to burnout-proof their businesses too. All right, thanks so much. Have a great day.